The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you then are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. And your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One of the things I enjoy about vacationing in Wisconsin's North Woods is the amazing number of stars that are clearly visible in the night sky. There's just no comparison to the meager numbers visible in Perrysburg. On a clear night, not only are all the familiar constellations visible, the bright band of the Milky Way is also quite prominent and amazing to see. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Abram in our text? He was somewhere around 80 years old. He was childless, and the time for him and Sarah to have children had run out. He was experiencing what the preacher in Ecclesiastes lamented. "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me." And in Abraham's case, it wouldn't even be his own offspring. That's why, when the Lord came to him saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward shall be very great," Abram responded, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." Abram had resigned himself to having his estate go to one of his servants, Eliezer of Damascus. But God said, "No, that's not the plan I have for you, Abram. Your heir will be a son coming from your own body. And not just that, your descendants will be as countless as a host. Look at the stars. I assure you that your offspring will be as innumerable as they are." Can you imagine what Abram must have thought? The word inconceivable comes to mind. How could Abram even have imagined this was possible at such a late date? Yet it was not merely a possibility. It was now God's guarantee. It was far more than Abraham desired, surely more than he could ever deserve. And yet God gave him this wonderful promise: "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. So shall your offspring be." Now, In view of God's word, Abram didn't think it inconceivable, for the scriptures immediately continue, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. This is perhaps the most astonishing statement recorded in this reading. The Lord counted Abram's belief to him as righteousness. God took note of Abram trusting his promise, and on the basis of that faith, regarded Abram as righteous. All of Abram's previous wavering, his lack of trust, his taking matters into his own hands, not to mention his ordinary and everyday failures, falling into sin, failing to resist temptation. All of these God wiped away and removed because Abram trusted the Lord's promise to him. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. In many respects, the message of today's readings is the flip side of the warning of last week's readings. There, as Jesus said in the conclusion of the parable of the rich fool, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. With Abram, and in today's gospel, we see how it is with those who are rich toward God, who count him as their treasure. And there's something that's particularly important for us to recognize in these readings. Consider how the account from Genesis begins. The Lord says, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." In the gospel, Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Both of these words from God speak of a present reality. God didn't come to Abram and say, "I will be your shield." Jesus didn't say, "It will be your Father's good pleasure at some future date, somewhere down the road, to give you the kingdom." No, in both of these cases, the scriptures describe these things as already being in effect. The Lord says, "Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Jesus assures his followers, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is present tense reality. The kingdom is yours now. Right now, the Lord says, "I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." God doesn't come with a conditional promise. If you're good, you'll get a wonderful thing. He comes with a gift. Here is this wonderful thing for you. Luxuriate in this blessing I give you. Let it comfort and encourage you. Take it, believe it. Use and rely on this gift from me. The only way it could be otherwise is if a person were to push it back to God and say, "I'm not interested in this, God. You might say that you're my shield and that my reward shall be very great, but the fact is I really don't need it. I've got it all handled on my own. You've given me the kingdom? No way. I don't take charity. The only way I'll accept the kingdom is by earning it." I'm sure you recognize these sentiments because they're part of how we often react. Sometimes we consider offers of help demeaning, as if the person offering them is insinuating that we aren't capable of handling things on our own. At other times, the offers seem redundant. If we have everything under control, why do we need help? And sometimes, as Jesus suggests in the gospel, we tend to think that there are more important priorities to which we must attend. That's what it means when it says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God showers us with an abundance of wonderful blessings, far more than we either desire or deserve. In addition to the precious gift of redemption in Jesus Christ, through his suffering, death, and resurrection, we have family and friends, a place to live, food to eat, clothes to wear, convenient means of transportation, and on and on. And we have all of these things in such great abundance that our lives are filled with trying to manage everything. That's a serious problem that the readings today urge us to face. Is redemption the pearl of great price in your life? The one thing you would give up all your other possessions in order to retain? Do you live with God's goodwill in Christ as the priceless treasure that is the most important thing to you? Or do you become so involved with all the other stuff in your life that Christ gets pushed to the side, marginalized, because you have so many other priorities? These are vital questions to consider, because as Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you live with his return in glory as your chief priority, then when he comes, it will be good for you. He will greet you with open arms and will invite you to rejoice eternally in his Father's gracious hospitality. Jesus makes it clear, though, that it will not be this way for everyone. Those who are not ready for the Lord when he returns, who did not look forward to his coming, they will have an eternity in which to regret their misplaced priorities. And we need to be clear that what God is saying here is not merely some kind of theoretical or intellectual matter, or something only for the very end of life when we get to be 95 or something. Today's epistle reading shows that it's very practical. It is very much reflected in how you live from day to day. We are called to live as strangers in a foreign country, looking forward to a promised land. A city with foundations awaits you. The closing on that property has already taken place. Jesus declared, "It is finished, paid for in full. It's all yours. All that is left is for you to move in." Listen again to how the author of Hebrews describes the lives of those who have gone before us. He speaks of them in order to provide an example to follow, to show us how to live in faith toward God, with his kingdom as our greatest treasure. These all, referring to Abraham and his family, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. God has prepared for you a city, has given you a kingdom. Truly, it is beyond your understanding, even more than you desire, certainly more than you could ever deserve. But he has prepared it for you and given it to you. May he strengthen your trust and confidence in him, so that you live here as an alien and a stranger, not focused on holding on to all the things that are here that will surely pass away, but restless in anticipation of the glories that you will enjoy eternally for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.